Warning, this podcast has stories of real-life events and true crime that happens every day. These stories may contain adult language and graphic or disturbing details not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised. In our society, most people are content to go through their daily lives safely and peacefully. But our society is not always safe or peaceful. For that reason, some men and women answer a higher calling to defend and protect their fellow man. You probably know someone who is one of these people, or maybe you are one of these people. The ones who see and do the things most people would never want to. These things are sometimes heroic and beautiful, but often they are horrific and terrifying. It's these things they don't share about with other people. It's these things they carry with them, so you don't have to. But when they get together, they talk to each other about them. And they call these stories war stories. Welcome back to another episode of War Stories. I'm your host, Fletch Fletcher. Those of you that listen to us over on the Manstalgia podcast, we're still sitting down with Zohan and his pops, Salty, and Cartman.
Hey, you know, Fletch, I think it's your turn. How about that?
Are you hijacking the show?
I think I'm going to hijack the show this time, and I think you are going to be telling us a story today.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking Fletch.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking Fletch.
Hot seat. Right, hot seat.
It's only fair, right?
I think it's only fair.
It's only fair.
Did all you right. watch The Notebook yet?
No, I have not watched The Notebook.
Just wanted to make sure.
That.
Thanks.
You know what's fun? Okay, so this is interesting then. I'll tell a story. The anniversary date is coming up. It was fucking St. Patrick's Day.
Let's do it.
So
that's when my youngest son was born.
Well, then I'm glad that your son is alive, and I'm glad I'm...
Go figure. Yeah, Mini right. Ginger came out on St. Patrick's Day. Are you kidding me? Wow.
You fucking birthed a leprechaun on St. Patrick's Day.
Jesus. So look, for the record, you open yourself up for this.
Yes.
You know? So, okay. You know, let's hear it.
Yeah.
Let's hear the story.
All right. So, I guess a little bit about my background. I worked for a small agency in... Central California, Central Coast. My old man worked for LAPD, and when I decided to become a cop, he said, great, awesome, anywhere but LA.
Good advice. Yep. Solid advice. I think he's heard the same thing.
Yeah. Same exact advice.
He said, son, I don't care where you go. I would ask that you don't go there. And I said, why not? I love that agency. It's at, you know, I grew up on What Out of 12 and Reed right. Malloy and all that shit. And the fucking badge is sexy as hell and all that. And you know, just the whole idea of no shoulder patches, because what the fuck does this badge say and where the fuck do you think you are? I'd grown up with this image of LAPD, and he just said, don't go there. So he said, it's not my LAPD anymore. What's that?
I said, that's what all that meant? I never knew why you never had shoulder patches in L.A.
Yeah, because fuck everyone else.
In L.A.'s like, L.A. used to threaten. They had that, you know, the badge that everybody associates, you know, it's on Dragnet and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They used to threaten to sue other agencies if they copied their badge. And then I guess a commander left L.A. and became the chief at Beverly Hills PD and went, fuck you guys. And he redesigned the Beverly Hills PD badge to look identical to LAPD's badge. He just used the Beverly Hills City Hall.
Yeah, they just keep on changing City Hall.
Right, right. Exactly.
Everybody has it.
And so once he broke the seal and LAPD didn't sue him, there's a few agencies
that have done it.
Anyway. Interesting.
You know what? Just since we're there, this is how strange this whole badge thing is.
Uh-huh.
So I've taught around the world, around the country, seminars, mostly narcotic and canine stuff.
Right.
There have been places where my audience, other cops, uh-huh. other investigators, federal agents, have asked me if I could pass my badge around so they could hold it and see it.
Wow.
And I'm like, this piece of shit? Really?
Yeah, you know what's funny?
And it is crazy, but there is truth to it, and I really didn't realize.
It's a sexy badge.
I never realized, really, the impact it had on other people, other agencies, other states.
Yeah, and maybe I just took it for granted. That specifically goes for a shitload of money on the badge collecting market. It's insane. Like, wow.
I don't mean to interrupt, but this is a kind of a pivotal moment here, mentioning Salty Operator.
Uh-oh.
One of my partners and his wives just sent me a post from you.
Uh-oh.
And I just think it's funny because...
we'll take a picture of him and send it back to him.
Yeah, because this woman has no affiliation to any of us in here besides her husband being one of my partners. But kind of funny. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Well, so I went to work for this small agency up in the Central Coast of California. And after a couple of years...
What year did you come on?
2000. Well, I went to the academy in 2002 and then graduated end of 2002
started FTO beginning of
03. Boot. Boot.
Was that?
Boot. Yeah, <right. laughs> Sorry.
A little baby just
clearing my throat. Boot.
So I came on, and then after a couple of years, they assigned me to our agency didn't have its own narcotics team. They had a county narcotics team that was administered by the State Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement. So they loaned me out. You know, you put in for the assignment, and when they assign you to it, they basically just loan you out. Your agency practically never sees you for a while because you're attached to this task force.
How many other agencies were attached to this?
Six or seven.
Okay, so
six
few.
Or seven police departments.
All right.
Everybody puts in a body. Then the DA's office puts in
right.
two bodies
right.
from their investigator's office. And then we even had somebody from the National Guard. We had somebody from Secret Service. They weren't permanently attached, but they
sure.
were
on loan.
You know, on loan.
At CHP okay. for traffic control.
Yeah, we had a guy. We had a CHP guy in unit. And God damn it, man. That was an eye-opening experience working with a goddamn chippy. He's a squared-away chippy. Don't get me wrong. There
oh,
are
yeah.
a few of them.
Oh, yeah.
But he... Totally different mindset. Totally different mindset than what a lot of
sure.
us were. And he factors into this story quite a bit, if you could believe it. So I go to work for this narcotics task force. I worked narcs. I had 3 years on, and when they put me in narcs, so I was they called me they call you a narcling.
A narcling.
So, this little narcling fresh out of narc school, you know.
I just pictured you patching out of an egg.
Right. Exactly. And you do, man. You. And so within 3 months of, so my dad did 25 years on LAPD, drew his weapon, had been present at, you know, places where shots have been fired, never been shot at, never shot anybody. 25 years.
Nice.
Wow.
And
goals.
Yeah. Right.
In sure. a time where,
in a it, time where, oh,
it
yeah,
probably
they
was going to happen.
People.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on Metro. He was on all the.
Yeah. You know, what years are we talking?
Yeah. Him? We're talking 72 to 97.
Oh, yeah. It was a Wild West.
I mean, they're just Crips and Bloods and all this stuff. So he really came out relatively unscathed. And so it was kind of ironic that I go to a very small agency in what is, you know, arguably a nice coastal quiet town.
Sure.
And within 3 years and 3 months of coming on the job, I'd gotten into an OIS.
Can we just point out that there's no such thing as a nice, quiet?
No, town? And that's the thing I tell people all the time. I said, you know, the there's less cops to respond in when you get to these smaller areas. So the chances of your number coming up, you know, LA's got 10,000 cops. LA Sheriff has 10,000 cops. The odds of you being the one that it happens to is 1 in 10,000, arguably. You know, versus my agency, it's the odds of it happening to you are a lot smaller. Mm-hmm. So I'm working. This task force, they give you a cold plated car. You know, I had a white Dodge pickup truck that I inherited from the previous detective. And
Dakota,
what's that?
Dakota?
Dodge no, Dakota? Like big Ram four door. Oh. Yeah,
you're better than mine.
Yeah, and you know, cold plated. It's got the hidden radio. It was bitching, man. I loved it. I was like, sure. Oh, I got a take home car. You know, so at this point, we all help each other out. State task force, if another state task force asks for assistance, we go. So the Santa Barbara County task force and Santa Barbara PD had asked for assistance because, if you can believe this shit, they had a Santa Barbara County probation officer involved in an illegal gun dealing ring.
Oh, go figure.
No.
No.
Can't be.
Say it isn't so. And believe it or not, this factors almost not at all into the story.
Just a little side note.
No, this is what we're there for. We went down 2 o'clock in the morning. We rally up. So basically they had run this operation where they were going to take this guy down. So the plan was they had multiple targets, multiple locations, multiple agencies involved. ATF was involved because it's, you know, selling guns out the back door of a gun shop. Mm. DOJ was involved. All these agencies are involved. And our assignment was to come down and help them. They had multiple targets. They wanted us all to get on these targets at 4 a.m. while they were all fat, dumb, and happy in bed. And then we'd stay on every single target so we knew where everybody was. And then when this probation officer came into work, they're going to snatch him up, pull him into the boss's office, tell him they knew what was going on, and hook him up. Once they had him hooked up, they were going to give us the go code to smash everyone else involved simultaneously.
And why would you do something like that simultaneously?
So
just for everyone else that's listening,
right? The bamboo telegraph is, you know, we call it, is it that new bad news travels faster than good news.
Right.
And when, you know, when you find out that the the probation officer's been hooked up, if that news travels, then you're going to have all these people. Several of them were, you know, members of the Hispanic community whose paperwork was, you know, in question.
Sure.
Very illegal.
Whose status was in question. So you don't want them to scatter to the four winds. You want to smash everybody at the same time, and it also is safer because nobody gets to dump evidence, nobody gets to prepare for us to come, all that kind of stuff. So we were taking down, I want to say six or eight independent locations. So we had just a shit ton of cops there, and by 11 o'clock, it was done. It's code four. We smashed a place. The guy gets taken into custody without incident. There's a bunch of bodies in custody. They're interviewing him, and we're good. We're released. We're cleared. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, and our day is pretty much already done. So we had four or five vehicles down there. Two or three guys per vehicle. We'd all caravan down there, and we had decided one of the task force guys had been there longer than anybody. It was actually, you guys have heard of Tim Kennedy. It was Tim Kennedy's dad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. With.
And him and his other cohort decided to take off early. And so they were like, nah, we're not going to lunch with you fuckers. We're going to go home, right? We're going to head out. And it was a good thing they did, because it comes into play later that they weren't with us. So we decided, we're in Santa Barbara. There's a bunch of restaurants in Santa Barbara that you don't get in our hometown because, you know, it's just doesn't have the same places. So we're like, fuck it. Let's go this place. We all had decided to go to fucking Chili's for some reason.
Right? You don't have a Chili's?
Where are you kidding? All the places in Santa Barbara and you chose Chili's?
Right?
The only Chili's I knew have burned down. You remember that?
Well, that's the funny part, right?
Used Chili's
like
here.
You can go
there, Chili's.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we should honestly have their slogan just say "There's better places."
But it was this like everybody was like, "Let's just go to Chili's." I'm like,
"Wow!"
And we had picked another place, and we got there. It was fucking crowded, and then there was a Chili's close by, and we all just went, "Fuck it, let's go to Chili's." It's fast, right? So we get to Chili's. It's fine, whatever. And we all were like, "Well, fuck it, we're off duty, right? Let's have some drinks. We're thinking, okay, we'll get some fucking margaritas at Chili's. They're delicious there. The waitress comes over and we all kind of look at each other. We're all driving our fucking G rides, and we all kind of go, iced tea.
You're badass in your brain, so you got to open your mouth.
That's right. We're like, yeah, we're gonna have margaritas after we smash.
I'll have a passion fruit iced tea.
Iced tea, please. I'm driving.
Can you please bring an umbrella?
But again, that if that decision is different,
right,
this story is different.
Right. Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Right.
But we decided not to go to this other restaurant. We went to Chili's. All of a sudden, for some reason, it takes 45 minutes. It never takes 45 minutes to get your food at Chili's. It takes like 15 because it's all microwaved. Mm. You know,
that's if they actually cook it.
Right. But for some reason, they apologized. It took 45 minutes to get our food. Again, if that doesn't happen,
right,
this story doesn't happen.
Sure.
Right.
So the fact that we went to the restaurant, the fact that we didn't drink, the fact that our food took forever, all leads to the fact that we were in Santa Barbara to begin with when we shouldn't have been there. And so we're fat, dumb, and happy. We're just having a good time. And get done. We get in my car as I was driving, my partner, God bless him. I hope one day to have him on the show. He sitting next to me, driving back.
I don't mean to interrupt you real quick. Is your partner just for this task force, or did you know him prior to and was a...
I knew of him. He worked for a different agency.
Okay.
We had interacted.
Okay.
But
your time on with him was during this.
Right.
Okay.
So we did not... We'd never work together again.
Got
because
it.
He was from a different agency. I was from a different agency. So we were, you know, partnered up, and we weren't even like, we're just riding in the same car together.
Sure.
We're buddies. We are destined.
So you're learning about each other.
Yeah. Right. And he kind of was, you know, mentoring me because he had been in the NARC unit for a couple of years at this point. He was on his last year of his rotation. So I was rotating in, he was rotating out.
Got
so
it.
He kind of was mentoring me. And, we get in my truck, and then the other guys that had lunch with us. There was three of them, a guy from parole, a guy from the agency, just the police department just north of mine, and the Chippy. And they're in another vehicle, both trucks. And when we get on the 101, we go northbound. And after you leave Santa Barbara City, there's a very small town, city, I guess, but very small city called Goleta. And we're driving basically through that area. So, you know, when you drive up the 101 freeway and you have the hillside on your right and you have the beach on your left, and there's that's basically it. You're driving up the mm-hmm. coast. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. That's our day. It's, you know, 12:30 in the afternoon. It's sunshiny.
Not a bad
birds day. Are chirping. It's a great fucking day. I get to go home and, you know, spend the rest of my day with my family because, you know, I started work at 2 a.m. No problem.
It's one of those coastal crime cities.
Yeah, it's literally just couldn't be better.
Peaceful.
Until we're driving north on the freeway. And I remember very distinctly the Chippy was driving a Chevy truck with a camper shell, and then I'm driving my white Dodge. And there was a couple car lengths ahead of us that was towing a car carrier. And there was an old vintage, like, late 60s Mercury Cougar XR, whatever the fuck, being towed. Somebody's, you know, trophy car or whatever. And, again, that car's not on the freeway. This story doesn't happen because out of nowhere, we're driving up, and that car comes off the car carrier.
Holy shit.
Oh, shit.
Like, completely detaches?
Completely comes off the car carrier right in front of us and spins out with no driver in it, just drops on the just unhitches from the car carrier and starts so
like
spinning out
fast
on the freeway.
And furious
just
shit.
Fast, like, and that's not the story,
right? Right.
But the car comes off the fucking car carrier, spins out on the freeway, and Chippies being Chippies, holy shit! That car came loose on the freeway. This is a fucking emergency. This is terrible. We got to make sure everybody's okay. We got to, you know, being chippies, man. I still remember. He's from Kentucky, man. And he just, we got to stop and check this car out. Okay, fine, whatever. No big deal. So we start to pull over again, just randomly because this fucking car came off the car carrier. And once we did that, we see that everybody's fine. There was nobody in the car. Miraculously, this car, nobody got hit. Nothing. Just the car came off the car carrier, spun out, and ended up on the side of the freeway in the grass.
Perfect.
Wow.
And we're like, okay, cool. It wow. delayed us, made us get off the freeway, but we're good. We're code 4. We're getting back on the freeway. So we get off the freeway because of this. It's at El Capitan. So the off-ramp is a northbound off-ramp, a little side street, and a northbound on-ramp. So it's just off and back, make a U-turn, get back on the freeway. So as we're getting back on the freeway, we see a helicopter and a bunch of lights from Chippy cars. And we're going, that's the fastest fucking response to a car coming
right.
loose I've ever right. seen. Right. There's like 3 cop cars and a couple of G-rides, you know, with their red. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And then we realize, okay, the Chippies aren't coming for this car that came off the
By
park.
By G-ride, do we already discuss what a G-ride
oh,
was?
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Your government car.
Right.
Your
unmarked.
Your unmarked, you know, we call them G-rides. So right. I'm looking,
know.
I'm like black and whites, Chippy black and whites, a couple of unmarked detective cars with their lights on coming southbound and a helicopter. And that's when we realized, oh, there's a pursuit. So we're going northbound. The pursuit will go southbound. We'll get on the freeway once the pursuit passes. Well, what we didn't realize is the pursuing units were probably half a mile back from who they were pursuing. And they were pursuing a vehicle that we would never have expected them to fucking pursue. A fucking box truck, a moving truck.
Nice. Okay. Right. Now, was the helicopter tracking?
Yeah.
Or okay, so the helicopter's tracking and the units are now
right.
back.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
And so we're just waiting for it to pass. Because we're like, yeah, have fun, Chippies. We're getting on. And we assume the suspect vehicle's back with the black and whites.
Sure.
So we're sitting on the off-ramp. And then all of a sudden, out of fucking nowhere, a moving truck.
Oh, my gosh.
Comes from the southbound lane, and just mobs fucking over the grass center median. Just ba-boom, fucking comes airborne.
So that must be the suspect.
And, oh, we're like, what the fuck?
Found it.
Okay. Well, here's your guy.
Yeah. One of these things is not like
right.
the other.
And he almost just, there's a fucking school bus full of, it's like a goddamn yeah. Michael Bay movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a school bus full of kids, and he just barely misses T-boning this fucking school bus full of kids. And we're like, what the fuck is happening? Well, the next thing we know, he is coming down the on-ramp. We're trying to go up.
So you guys are facing each other.
Right? So he's coming down in this box truck. The Chippy and his two guys, the guy from Parole and the guy from another PD, are in front of us, right?
What's going through your mind right now?
You know what?
No, it's like a what the fuck.
At this point, I'm going, wait, what the fuck is happening?
Exactly, yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like,
and
you're
then
trying to process it
all of a sudden, I realize this is the suspect.
Right.
And right as I realize that this is the suspect, a 1911 comes up over the dashboard of the moving truck, and his windshield starts exploding.
Oh, at you guys.
At us. You guys, yeah.
Yeah. And then the truck in front of us, which is my partner's car, my other
just to clarify, at this point, this asshole does not know you guys are cops.
No.
Right?
Yeah, you guys
just
know.
For everybody out there listening, right. These are just random citizens as far as the asshole is concerned.
Right. And boy, did he pick the wrong.
Yes, he did.
What bad circumstances for that guy.
And I'll get into like how bad.
He's all, wait, these civilians have guns.
I'm going to tell you, and this is where I firmly believe.
They allow
you guys
guns in Santa Barbara? What the hell?
Exactly. No, I've said it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So we're sitting on the on-ramp, and he comes down the on-ramp the wrong direction. And now my Chippy buddy and his two guys are pinned. They can't go back
because
my truck is there.
Sure.
And they can't go forward because the bad guy's there. And he's coming at it full speed, and there are rounds coming out of his windshield. And all of a sudden, I see the Chippy the undercover Chippy car windshield just explode. And so now the Chippy, they're taking rounds from this guy.
Right.
So the next thing I know, my gun is in my hand, and my partner's gun is in his hand, and my truck is backing up. And I don't know how, but clearly I did something.
Right.
And I realized at some point, I remember thinking, well, here it is. This is it. This is what we trained for. So,
well, and I think that's that conscious decision too, or unconscious decision, I guess, where it's like all of a sudden things start occurring that you just pull file cards.
Right.
And your body does it. It's not that you're like, oh, I need to reverse my truck. It's just, oh shit, my truck's reversing.
Let me say something, because you said something very interesting.
Okay.
And maybe I think everybody at this table could maybe understand this. Isn't it funny that we go through all of this training? We've played scenarios a million times in our brains. We've all been involved in some hair-raising scenarios, some benign scenarios, all these different things. But at some point, when the shit hits the fan, isn't there this 1 second that you almost have clarity?
Yeah.
That you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess
this is it.
I wasn't
freaked out.
Right?
I wasn't panicked. But
right. But you are in fight or flight. You know, all these things are going on. Your training is kicking in. But there's this one moment where it's just like you have reserved yourself to like, all right, well, this is it. And then you just move on and do whatever you have to do.
It's like conscious me took a back seat and started watching
what's
going on.
Right.
And conscious me went, go ahead.
Yeah.
Just
do what you got to do.
Here
we
do
go.
What you got to do, dude. Yeah. I'll just take a back seat.
It's like being in the eye of a hurricane. Everything's all calm, but everything around you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's that entire warrior mentality. You know what I mean? That we are all... or not all of us, but for the most part, that's pretty much the majority of law enforcement officers or military personnel, etc., have that warrior mentality that when shit starts hitting the fan, that moment of clarity is your best friend.
Right.
Because that's the identifying factor when you go, all right, it's game time. This is what I've done everything for, and this is what I'm going to push forward on.
And so, again, I just look, oh, I have a gun. It was very bizarre. I pulled my gun out. And I don't consciously remember pulling my gun out.
Right.
I just remember seeing a gun and having a gun. That was kind of just that quick. And in that moment is when I remember, here it goes. Here it is. This is what's happening. So I start backing up the truck. Again, I don't remember starting it, but I remember at some point coming back into my body and knowing I have to give them room to escape. So I do a backup, and they always teach you the tactical backing and how to flip the car around and go the other direction. I'd never done it. I mean, other than, you know, training in the academy when they're like, okay, you know, back up and then flip the police car around. And so I was like, all right. And the next thing I know, I'm doing it in a fucking full-size Dodge Ram four-door.
You can't see out the back. Yeah.
Right? Like, okay.
Which, by the way, does not handle like a yeah,
it drives like a wet turd.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I, the trucks, as I'm backing up and turning, I specifically remember the Chevy with the chippy Chevy driving the other way. Their windshield is completely blown out. And
now are they in the car?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so they're in the car. Got it.
And he's they're just all I see him. I see his face, and then I see the
who's
guy
him.
The chippy, the guy from parole, and the guy from the gotcha. Agency just got north of mine.
Have they returned fire at this
point?
Yeah,
I was just about to ask that question.
Well, so no. I don't know. I know their windshield is blown out, okay. And I know I have to give them room. So, because it's a truck, the guy from parole is stuck in the back. I mean, he's got his backdrop is two heads of two cops. Right, so right, he's right. out of the fight yeah, right. effectively right there. And then as they passed me, I looked, and I, oh, man, it terrified me. I saw. It was the guy from the agency, PD north of me. I've known him for a long time. You know, we'd go up to there to help or they'd come down to help. And he's holding his neck. And they're backing away. So I just see him, you know, with his hand completely around his neck and their windshield's blown out. And they're just backing up. And I'm like, all right, get the fuck out. Tactical retreat. Mm-hmm. And then my next thought is once I get the truck in drive, we'll go with him. But at that point, the suspect had caught up to us with the moving truck and just boom, just sideswipe. Like we are now, our trucks are touching. And
so you're, just so I understand, you're facing each other, but it's your driver's door and his driver's door.
Yeah. I had managed to get the truck turned around. So I was just about ready to start going the other direction, facing the other direction when he basically ended up.
So basically
my front passenger headlight and his front driver's headlight were touching.
The corners. Yeah.
The corners. Right. So we kind of created a V.
Right. So he's to your right.
He's on the passenger side, yeah. And my partner's on the, obviously right. on the passenger side.
Right.
And they're within 5 feet of each other.
Right.
And they're just, I go like this. I turn to my right, to my passenger side. And I remember being so, to this day, God damn you, fucking, your head is in the way. I'm yeah. like, you motherfucker.
Just duck for a second.
Just duck for a second.
I think he had other business to take care of. Right. Yeah.
So he's already throwing rounds down. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And I remember, okay, so I can't shoot the guy from this position.
Partner's in the way. Got it.
Partner's in the way. And I just, fuck. Okay, so throw the truck in park, because at this point, we're done. I'm not going to try and maneuver it from, I better get out, leave him room to get out, because now he's fucking pinned yeah, between the
stuck.
Bad guy
sure.
and me.
Yeah, 100%.
So
yeah.
I fucking throw it in park. And I remember ducking to get out, and I that was when, fuck, I remember hearing the sound of the sheet metal just thump, 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 and I don't remember the bang of the firearms as much as I remember the sound of the actual projectiles penetrating steel.
Right.
And I just remember hearing those thumps and waiting for that. They always describe it as a searing, white, hot, burning pain, you know, and so I'm like just waiting for one to get me in the ass or in the side or something as I'm trying to get out. And I felt like I was trying to open that door for a dog's life, man. I felt like I had ducked and opened the door, and it took maybe a second, mm-hmm. but you know, felt like 10 minutes.
If you've ever seen the movie or played the video game Max Payne.
Yes.
And you get that adrenaline rush yeah. where you could actually slow time down for everyone that has not experienced anything like that. It's exactly
right.
that where
yeah.
your time just slows down. Even though you're moving in real time,
right.
your brain is not.
Your brain is. And I had Larry Blum explain that to me.
Right.
As your brain can process information faster than you can move.
Way
your brain
faster.
Is processing yeah. things at the speed of electricity. Right. So it is it is now kicked into high gear, and it is processing everything that's going on at maybe 100 or 1,000 times its normal speed. So while you're hyper-focused, you feel like time has slowed down because you're like, why won't you move? Your brain is telling your hand to open the fucking door, and your brain is screaming at your hand, open the fucking door, open the fucking door, open the fucking door. Thank you for finally opening the fucking door. Now get out of the fucking truck. Get out of the fucking truck. Get out, you know.
Right.
So I get out of the truck, and at that point, I take cover on – I go to the bed of the truck, on the just to the rear. So this is a four door. So I'm basically at the driver's side, second door at what would be the C pillar, and I go up over the truck bed to engage suspect, and my fucking partner again decides not to come out the driver's door opening that I had made for him. Instead,
oh, shit.
He climbs out right. the blown out passenger side window towards the suspect.
Dukes of Hazzard style.
Dukes of Hazzard. And then, no, then he fucking Dukes of Hazzard's over the truck bed and lands to my right.
This is sounding like two episodes ago when I told my story, like how you just can't yeah, get the like, perfect
God
shot.
Damn
just,
it. And
come
I,
on.
So he comes and I'm like, fuck. So I look over and he's at slide lock. So his gun's empty. And this is what a fucking idiot I am. So he has a Beretta 96. I had a Beretta 96. So, you know, it's the same as a standard Beretta 92, only instead of 40 cal. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that we both had that gun and we, you know. But what I had in my hand was my undercover gun, which was a Glock 30, which is a 45 caliber little teeny tiny Glock. I was like, fuck it. I want as many 45 rounds in as small of a fucking package as I can if I'm working undercover.
Right.
So he's at slide lock and I'm like, fuck, he can't be at slide lock. So I hand him my Glock. And then I go back into the truck to retrieve my Beretta. I could have just grabbed him a fucking magazine.
Right. Tossed him a magazine.
I literally could have just opened the door, grabbed the magazine, handed it to him, and he could have gone back into battery with his Beretta. Right.
No, fucking take my gun.
No, fucking here's my gun, and then I'll go back and get a new gun.
Here, take my gun. By the way, you only have 8 rounds.
Right? Yeah. Right. And it's a gun that you're not familiar with, and I could just reload the one yeah. you are familiar with, and we'd be fine.
Is that but crazy?
It's like something out of a movie.
I'm like, get a gun. You need a gun. Your gun is empty. I'm going to go get a new gun.
But you know what? In a stressful situation, you made a move. Period.
Right.
You made a move.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so I go back to the car, get my gun, come back.
Okay, what is asshole doing at this point? Is Nothing. He hit?
Well, okay, so I
so,
can...
So, I mean, is he still putting rounds up? Okay,
so oh, he's dead at this point.
Okay. You just don't know it yet.
I should say he's dying.
You just don't have rounds coming from him.
We no longer are taking rounds, yeah, okay. And we're no longer putting rounds downrange.
So your partner selfishly took all the action?
Bastard.
Well, he was the closest guy.
But you know what? He's literally, to this day, he will thank me for not shooting him in the back of the fucking head.
100%.
He tells me...
Because it's happened before.
Yeah.
The fact that he knows that I went like that... So, and then had the presence of mind to fucking go, God damn it, and not shoot him. He always thanks me for it. And I'm like, I just wanted you to get out of the way, dude. Oh, God. Anyway, so no more rounds going downrange. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what the fuck just happened. Right. We just know this guy was being pursued by the Highway Patrol and then put fucking rounds at us. And now it's eerily quiet for a second. And we're both hunkered down looking at each other on the driver's side of my truck, pointing our guns at the suspect vehicle.
Now, have you had any contact with the Chippy and or Pearl?
No.
Okay.
So they're about a half a mile. They basically, that little side street that this all kind of went down on at the base of the on-ramp, hooks around and goes under the freeway again and then heads out to the beach. So they had basically taken that curve and were hunkered down in cover underneath the freeway overpass.
Thinking you guys were going to be
yeah,
following.
You guys are coming.
Thinking
around.
We're following.
Right.
Yeah. And that plays into it later, too.
Okay.
And what about the CHP that was following him to begin with in the pursuit?
So,
have they arrived yet?
So now it's over. It's eerily quiet for a minute. And then we hear, put the fucking gun down. Put the fucking gun down. And we're like, yeah, motherfucker. Put the fucking shit.
They're talking to you.
Us.
Yeah.
And it was Santa Barbara SWAT. Santa Barbara County SWAT. And they were... Basically, they had been at SWAT training, and the call comes out that there's a pursuit going on, and they're like, fuck it, boys, we're going. So they joined this Chippy pursuit, and it was two guys, if I remember correctly, that were in the bed of a truck with their ARs, with their M4s over top of the truck cab and pointed. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
This is – okay. Were you there? Because this is before you came on,
this
right?
This was long before I was in.
So that's what I thought. You might know this story.
But we've heard.
Yeah. So put the fucking gun down. And we're like, yeah, put the God damn it. And now I'm anticipating another round from the back.
Well, that's got to be a kind of a messed up situation because you don't know if suspect's down.
No.
And you don't want to put your weapon down because if he starts shooting and you don't have a weapon in your hand, now you have to rely on someone else that thinks you're a suspect.
And guess who's in the middle?
And they're 30,
and you're in the middle.
30 to 40 feet away.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's a shitstorm right
now. In this dynamic situation, it's not like you have time to like grab the radio on the truck and be like, hey, plainclothes officers
right,
on scene.
Right, exactly. There was radio traffic that went out on the Chippy frequency from the Chippy, but that radio traffic is the stuff of legend. I'll tell you about it in a minute.
Okay.
The dispatcher during the debrief looked at him and said, I just, to this day, I will always remember. Because basically, Chippy grabs his Chippy, because he had two radios. He had his agency radio and his state radio. And he grabs the Chippy radio as soon as he realizes that they're taking rounds. He goes, Coastal 710, there's a fucking pursuit. We're in the middle of this fucking shit.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, it's like that one video, like, get him, Ned. Like,
exactly. That get was him his. On him. That was literally. She goes, do you know what you even said? He goes, no. She goes, you said, you came up on the radio and said, there's a fucking pursuit. We're in the middle of this fucking shit. And that was it. And they had no idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So at this point, we fucking Miami Vice style. They told. Initially, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then it was kind of lame. And then it was kind of cool. You wear your badge on a necklace under your shirt. Mm-hmm. And you simultaneously feel like a cool-ass like movie cop because
right.
you are wearing a badge on a necklace. And then you go, I look like a douchey movie cop wearing yeah. this badge on a necklace. But, oh, God, now I know why. Because I've got a decision to make. There's no fucking way I'm giving up my gun at this point.
Right.
So I reach in, and he goes, just do it slowly. We reach in, and we grab our, you know, neck chains, and we pull the badges out, and we, you know, without fucking looking, without turning, without moving, we just drop the badges down the back of our sure. shirts.
Yeah. Have you already made announcements at this point where you're saying, like, nope. hey, we're off duty, or nope. not off duty, but undercover?
So we start pulling the badges out. We're going, we're cops. But we don't know if they can fucking hear us. Mm-hmm. And right. so we put the badges down our backs. And the fucking, to this day, besides, you know, obviously the doctor telling me both my kids are healthy and fine, the sweetest fucking words I've ever heard were, stand down, they're cops. So I heard the SWAT guys say, stand down, they're cops. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm not going to get shot in the fucking back. That's, right. the relief was just, anyway. So, they're like, come to us, drop your guns and run. And we went, fuck
no.
You. So we basically kept our eyes on the suspect vehicle and, you know, step dragged back from cover. So we had to cross about 30 to 40 feet of open ground. And so we just, I put my hand on him and we, you know, backed up and we were just covering each other.
God, that's a horrible feeling.
Yeah. Oh, covering that open ground, not knowing if the guy's dead. Yeah.
But what a great feeling is it when all of a sudden your four-man unit there turns into like 20. Yeah. You're like, oh, wait. All right, yeah. Now we're with the SWAT.
You probably realize.
Now we're fucking.
Yeah, as you're backing up, exactly. You probably knew you had two rifles over
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Well, yeah. So now I'm like, okay, at least we're going to the good guys. Right, you know, we're right. going to be with the good guys, and then we, you know, figure shit out from that. So we get to the back of the SWAT truck, and the SWAT guys are like, are you hit? I'm like, no. I'm like, they're like, are you sure? And I'm like, no.
And so I don't think
we
so.
Had this, we had this grooming monkeys moment where my yeah. partner and I literally pulled up each
oh,
other's
yeah.
shirts
and, you have
and
to.
Checked each other for yeah, absolutely. And I that
adrenaline does that.
Yeah, it's like probably the most surreal moment of that whole experience was thinking back to the moment that I'm literally checking my buddy for bullet holes and he's checking me for bullet holes because we don't know.
Well, and I think a good takeaway on that too is. I mean, I've never been shot by, obviously, and
right.
I don't know if anybody in here has, but yeah. I have been shot by simunition rounds, right?
Yeah.
Which you realize after the fact that those hurt
yeah.
quite a bit and right. they leave marks,
mm-hmm.
but when the shit is unfolding and you get hit, you don't even know
right.
you got hit.
Right.
It's
you'll
usually,
come back, you'll be bleeding, and they go, hey, you got hit right here, and you're like, oh, I didn't even know.
Yeah,
you know?
Or like later on in the you know night, you go take a shower, and you're like, what the hell is
oh,
that?
Fuck,
oh,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
right. Yeah. I took one to the leg.
Yeah, I used to train. I was do the scenario with those, and man, you come home, my wife would just look at me, you know, just lit the fuck up, because I was always the bad guy at the training school where I was teaching.
That's funny.
So so we check each other for bullet holes, and then I'm like, no, we're good. And he goes, because we're hearing an officer's been shot. And I went, fuck. And I instantly flashed to my buddy with his hand around his throat. And I don't know what his status is. So we get him on the, we had Nextels at that point. We get him. We chirp him up on the next tells.
Those pieces of shit phones.
I know, right? So we chirp him up, and they're like, we're like, are you? How's Roger? I'm like, Roger's okay. We're like, we saw him. He's been shot, and like, yeah, he's been shot, but he's okay. Like, what? Like, yeah, he's fine. Are you guys okay? I'm like, yeah. They're like, get the fuck out of the truck. And we're like, we're out of the truck. So what happened on their end was they were also hearing officer's been shot, but it was who had been shot. Only,
oh, gotcha.
If you can believe this, that first round that the guy cranked off through his own windshield hit the hood of the chippy truck, flattened out, gone through the windshield like a frisbee, hit Roger in the neck sideways, gave him a red welt, and fell on the floor.
No way.
So he took a 45 round in the neck.
He basically got slapped with it.
But he got slapped with it.
What the hell?
And he came out of the fight for that?
No. He was never in the fight. They had to back up because he never got a chance to fight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, so that regardless, had to back up.
Whether it be a slap or a penetration, I mean,
it's gonna hurt.
It's gonna hurt like a motherfucker.
I was thinking glass might have slit him.
Nope. It was.
I was figuring that he took shrapnel in there.
Nope. That was the actual. He has a picture of the windshield. The bullet hole in the windshield is like a thin flat line.
Wow.
Because the bullet ricocheted off and went through like a frisbee and slapped him in the neck and then fell on the floor.
Did he buy a lottery ticket that day?
No, but CNOA gave him the Lucky Narc Award.
Was it his time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you've got multiple agencies hearing officer's been hit. Nobody knows who it is. We're telling Roger, are you okay? Are you okay? He's like, yeah, we're fine. And they're telling us, get the fuck out of the truck, get the fuck out of the truck, get the fuck out of the truck. And frickin' what ended up happening was they're looking through binoculars at my truck. Well, when I was wearing a ball cap. And when I jumped out of the truck, the ball cap had hung up on the seatbelt and was now sitting sideways on the headrest of my truck and hung up on the B-pillar. So they're looking through the binoculars and they can't see shit. And they think that I'm hit and...
You're slumped over.
I'm slumped over. And so they're like, get the fuck out of the truck. Are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fucking fine. I'm behind the SWAT truck. They're like, we see you in the truck. I'm like, I'm not in the truck. We see your hat. I'm like, I'm not wearing a hat.
Isn't perception crazy?
Yeah, right.
Isn't it?
It's insane.
When chaos hits.
And at that point, the news had reached our buddies who had decided to leave early. They were an hour ahead of us on the freeway, but they hadn't made it home yet. So they just fucking turned around and hauled ass back. And they were there for us as our reps, you know, as basically our lawyers.
Sure.
Because at that point, you know, we were all separated and they were going to interview us.
Right.
So I remember being behind the SWAT truck and looking up at the helicopter and then looking at my truck and the fucking doors are open. It's a fucking yard sale. There's just gear on the ground.
Oh, sure. Right.
And then I know the news is, or I know that people are reporting an officer's been shot, and I just dial my wife. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and there's a picture from the helicopter of me hunched behind the SWAT truck, my, you know, finger in my ear and the phone up. So I called my wife, who was home. My wife has MS, so her mother had come up to help, and I get her mother on the phone because my wife was resting, and I tell my mother-in-law, I'm like, okay, nothing to really worry about. I just, before Jen turns on the news and freaks out, just let her know I'm fine. You know, got in a shooting, but I'm fine. So just tell her that.
It's interesting, like, you bring that up because in the story from the last episode, it was ideally and identically the same conversation.
Right.
Like, well, you get that minute of a break time where you're like thinking about things other than what's actually unfolding in front of us and you
right.
go, oh shit, this is...
There's other people I need to think about.
I did the exact same thing. Yeah. You called the freaking wife real quick. Hey, you're going to see this on the news. I'm fine. I got to go.
Right.
Click. And that is the shortest conversation you'll ever have.
Well, that happened in the second episode. And even in the first episode, I didn't even mention it, but I couldn't get a hold of my parents because they were... I mean, that's at the time, that's who I had. And,
right.
Well, I think you guys were in Mexico.
We were in Mexico, yeah.
You're on a cruise.
We were on a cruise, yeah.
You know, and so I had to get a
hold
of...
They were calling back telling you the exact same situation happened to them.
Exactly. Yeah. I had to call someone else to relay a message like, I'm okay.
When we came back into service, we had a message from that person saying, hey, this is what happened. He's okay, and we'll talk when you can call.
Right.
We're like, what the fuck? So
that conversation happens almost every
time,
I bet. Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah.
So So my mother-in-law, this is how my wife describes it. My mother-in-law walks into the room and decides at this point she probably better wake her up from her nap and says, hey, I'm not sure what this means. I just had a weird conversation with your husband. And he said he's been in a shooting, but he's okay. And she goes, what? Did you hear that? Are you sure you heard that right? So the next thing you know, my phone rings and it's my wife calling me back. And so I went over the whole thing with her. And I said, just call my dad. Tell him to, because call my dad and my mom. That's fine. Just let them know I'm okay. And then I will see you when I see you, because I have no idea what's going to happen now. And then my I get on the phone with my agency and I talk to the chief. And this is where he kind of, you know, agencies are weird with this shit and do stupid things.
Real quick, before you get into that, can you explain when you get into an officer-involved shooting exactly how that dynamic works?
Yeah, so...
As far as being separated, getting a rep.
Right.
You know.
So that was the you know, we are now suspects in... Because once we find out the dude's dead... Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't find out for a while, but we were pretty sure he was dead.
Sure.
My buddy emptied his Beretta into him from 3 feet away. So now they're treating us as suspects in a crime.
Sure.
And at the same time high-fiving us.
Sure.
And we don't know why. They're like, yeah, great job. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, this just, the shit hit the fan. They're like, wait, what? I'm like, yeah, we were just trying to get on the freeway and this guy attacked
us. Right, you didn't want anything to do with this. Right, yeah.
They're like, you didn't know there was a pursuit? I'm like, not until we saw it 2 feet in front of us. And they're like, wait, so you didn't hear any of this on the radio? This was dumb fucking luck? I'm like, yeah, why? And they're like, we'll tell you later. I'm like, what? And they're, we'll tell you later. And I'll tell you after what we ended up finding out. But they had thought that we had heard all this stuff and then put ourselves in a position to be the tip of the spear. In reality...
That's totally what happened.
We planned it. We knew the whole time.
Yep.
As evidenced by the Highway Patrol radio traffic. What the fuck is happening?
That might be one of the funniest things. That might be hilarious. Yeah. I can only imagine.
So,
I can't wait till my next pursuit.
So, we get separated. And the reason they separate you, they don't want you preparing notes. Like anything, you got to separate the witnesses. You got to get the statements. You got to do all that. You know, do you want a lawyer? So I call my agency and the chief. I spoke to the chief and he goes, "Well, do you need somebody there?" And I'm like, "What? I mean, I just told you what happened, and you're asking me if I need somebody there." And so, being a young cop with fucking 3 years on, I'm like, "Oh, this is like a tough guy thing." Okay, no, I'm good. It's fine. Don't send anybody. Okay, and they didn't fucking send anybody.
What the hell?
Yeah, it's
interesting.
That's a failure of population, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But regardless, it's a small agency that doesn't deal with this stuff a lot. He probably didn't, but he had been a big agency cop and had been in a gun battle. He should fucking know you should send somebody, but he didn't. Whatever.
That shouldn't have actually been a question to you. Should have been like, "Stand by, we're sending somebody."
Yeah,
right.
You don't leave it up to me.
The only question should have been like, "Who do you want there for your support?"
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
So everybody else's agency sent somebody, but I didn't.
Can I say something real quick? Isn't it funny how you go from whether it's defending someone's life, defending your own life, and in the matter of seconds, you're now treated like a suspect, like you did something wrong.
And now you're defending your innocence.
Now you're trying to defend what you just did, even though you were trained to do exactly what you just did.
Right. Yeah. The moment I was read my rights was...
Isn't that a surreal moment?
And they talk about it too. When you go to these training classes and they talk about if you're ever involved in OIS and they take your gun and they do all this stuff. So we were talking about it. They take your gun. Your gun is a piece of evidence in a possible homicide.
Yeah. Yeah.
They read you your rights because they don't know at that point if there was anything criminal about what happened and if they're going to use these statements against you in court, you know.
I don't know how it was for you, but for me, that was just a very, very surreal moment.
Yeah.
You know, you read people their rights.
Right.
You don't get your rights read to you.
Right, yeah. Why is this happening?
And then
why
the next thing you know, when you're getting your rights read to, you're like,
right,
I'm fucked, but I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, you get used to it by like the fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
Spoken like a fucking...
Anyway.
Yeah. I got the right to remain silent.
I got it.
Can we get on with this?
And that's why he's salty. Okay, continue. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. So they isolate us. Me and my partner were the main ones they isolated because at that point, the guys in the chippy truck were victim one, witness one, you know, but we are suspect one and two.
Sure.
Right. And we get, I get put in an interview room, and if you've seen the first 48, you know, they're little fucking windowless closets that are very stuffy and intimidating. And the detectives come in, they read me my rights. They ask me if I want a lawyer, and I don't know, hindsight's 2020. I didn't really need one. I didn't ask for one. And the department didn't send anybody, so I just winged it. But the task force commander for Santa Barbara County had showed up because he knew us and he was friends with us and he felt responsible. So he kind of acted as my rep.
Yeah, good on him.
Yeah, good. Yeah, yeah, exactly. My own agency didn't, but fuck, this guy did.
Sure.
Yeah. So I get interviewed. I tell him the whole fucking statement. And they keep saying, so you didn't know anything. You didn't. And I'm like, no, everybody keeps saying that. We're as far as I know, this guy tried to carjack us. That's it. I'm like, interesting. I'm like, why? And they're like, we'll tell you later. I'm like, okay. So at that point, it happened at noon 30, 1 o'clock. We ended up getting cleared by around midnight. And they said, we're not, my truck is still at the crime scene. They had sent, you know, Johnny Five out to with the camera to see if the guy was fucking dead. And then they finally secured the scene and got him in a body bag and all that kind of stuff. He'd taken four fatal rounds.
Nice.
Yeah. And
all by your partner?
All by my partner.
Nice.
And
selfish.
Yeah. Okay. So he basically, we got cleared. The sheriff's department said, you guys aren't driving yourselves back. So they got a van and said, you know, we'll drive you home. So the sheriff's department ended up putting us in like a
good on
Econoline van and said, you know, we'll take you home. So
this happened to be like an 80s brown Astro van.
No, it was, I think it was a white. God. Yeah, it was some white Econoline.
You probably wouldn't have made it home if you were in the other one.
Right. But
was that like some vice van?
Yeah. It was disgusting. I don't know.
So the guys that had gone ahead of us had gone to get road sodas, which, if you don't know what a road soda is, it's fucking beers.
Right.
And so they went and got whatever our favorites were, and they were planning on driving us back. And they were planning on having us, you know, open container in a vehicle.
Get
fucking
a little sauced up,
like,
on the
no,
way back.
I don't care. You guys been through some shit. It's time for a fucking drink, and we're going to start early. But the sheriff's department was like, no, we're driving them home. And our, they looked at our agencies. We're like, come on, they're our team. Let us take our own team home. And they're like, nope. Can't. Sorry. Yeah. And so our guys went to the sheriff's department detective who was going to drive us home and went, how dark is the back of that van? And the deputy looks at the fucking six packs in their hands and goes, you know, when I'm driving, I really can't see back there very well. So, you know.
That was the hero right there.
Yeah,
he was the hero. The
story right there, yeah. So we're, there's five of us are in this van and we're driving back. And, my buddy, the one who, my car partner who ends up shooting the guy, he's talking to me and he goes, yeah, you know, so yeah, when I came out the door and I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, when I, because we were just going back and forth, finally talking about it. It happened. We couldn't even talk about it for fucking 12 hours. And he goes, yeah, when I came out the door and after you. And I was like, you didn't fucking come out the door, dude. He goes, what? I said, dude, you went out the window on the suspect side. And then hopped over the truck bed and landed next to me like a fucking maniac. And he goes,
he's like,
no,
actually, I'm a gazelle.
And he goes, no, I didn't. And this is a fucking SWAT guy. He's right. At his home agency. He's a SWAT guy.
Right.
And he's like, no, I didn't. You exited the vehicle out the driver's door and I followed you out. I'm like, maybe. No, you fucking didn't.
Maybe that's what you wanted to do.
Right. And he goes, that makes so much more sense then. And I said, why? And he goes, when I was giving my statement to the detectives, I said, I came out the driver's door. And they went, you what? And I came out the driver's door. Are you sure? And he said they came back to it like three or four times asking me, so what did you do? How did you get out of the car? Mm. And he couldn't figure out why they kept hammering that one detail.
There's brass
because
on the
two fucking
side.
SWAT guys who watched the whole thing go down and me, his partner, all gave statements that he fucking went out the window and climbed over the truck bed.
Sure.
And he doesn't remember doing it.
Right.
Which isn't all. It awesome that when you do your job and you save lives, et cetera,
you still get that witness side questioning. Uh-huh. Like, well, three other guys said you did this. You sure you did that? It's like, come on.
Yeah. So he was very like, it fucked with him for a long time that his mind could play that level of a trick on him, that he is still to this day does not remember climbing over the bed of the truck at all.
Yeah.
So we're driving home. We have our road sodas. I'll cut to the postscript of that, which was when we got back the next day, when we finally, the first day we were all back at work because we all had, you know, a couple weeks off. Basically, the team shut down for a month. We go back to work all together the first day, and he says, hey, I want to go up to the parking structure and take a picture on the roof. So
parking structure of
the our headquarters.
Okay.
So we all go, we take a picture, and my partner's a very sentimental guy. So the next at our Christmas party that year, he gave everybody a present, and every single one of us on the team got that picture of us in a wooden frame, and he had the date and the team logo laser etched into the frame.
Oh, that's cool.
And on the top, so it says Slow NTF and then St. Patrick's Day, and then at the bottom in quotes was something somebody had told us the day of the incident. So one of the detectives looks at us and goes, fuck, trouble finds you guys. And we're like, I guess. And so at the bottom in quotes, it says trouble finds us.
That's awesome.
And then when you flip it over, he didn't tell anybody. He had picked bottle caps up off the van floor from the beers, and he fucking JB welded a bottle cap from every single one of the beers on the back of the picture frame. So it's
super
sentimental.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's cool. But it's still one of my prized possessions that hangs on the wall of my house.
Yeah, of course.
So, that was the end of the incident for us as far as we knew. Well, to quote the ghetto, what happened was this fucking guy, this fucking goblin was from San Jose. And I don't know if our listeners know, but San Jose, California, Northern California city, just outside of San Francisco, they have a crime problem.
Interesting.
Interesting. And this fucking guy, his two crime partners and him had been on a week-long crime spree, armed robbery, all that crazy shit. That culminated in an incident where he went face-to-face with a San Jose PD cop, put a gun to his head, and pulled the trigger, and it misfired. And the cop didn't die, didn't take a round, the gun didn't go off.
So the round actually...
Didn't work, didn't come out, nothing.
Shit.
And so he fucking... Butt strokes guy escapes, and then his the third member of the crew gets snatched up. Him and his crime partner jump in the car, and they're southbound 101, just fleeing from this week long crime spree. They've got ski masks and fucking guns in the car, and just all kinds of shit. So when they get into our county, ironically enough, right in my city. So I'm in Santa Barbara on a statewide task force. They're driving through my city where a highway patrolman says they're going too fucking fast. I'm going to try and stop them. Turns on his
never
fucking,
mind the BOL for that. You know,
no, there was no
cop.
BOL yet.
Oh, okay. BOL is
be on the lookout. Yeah, so when they put out the you know, you always hear the BOL or BOLO or APB was, you know, at one point what they said. It's just, hey, there's an asshole and this is what he looks like. Go fucking get him. And so he had initiated him for high rate of speed. Chippies are big in this story. And the guy said, fuck that, I'm not stopping. He's got a car full of guns and he's a wanted armed robber. So high-speed pursuit, 120 from the north end of San Luis Obispo County all the way into Santa Barbara County. And he gets into the town of Pismo Beach. I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but he gets to Pismo Beach and his car, I think they had spike stripped him. But he gets out of the car, him and his crime partner. His crime partner bails and ends up going into a restaurant in Pismo Beach and trying to escape, and Pismo Beach PD snatches his ass up and fucking takes him into custody. The driver starts exchanging rounds with Highway Patrol in Pismo Beach. And that poor Chippy, he looked at me at the debrief. He goes, man, I'm sorry. And I said, why? And he goes, because if I'd have fucking hit him, you wouldn't have been through that. And he was beating himself up over not fucking dumping the guy earlier. Mm-hmm. So then this fucking goblin takes an old lady and her husband on vacation in Pismo Beach hostage. Carjacks him.
Wow. That thing gets punched.
So he jumps in their car, and he puts the gun to the old lady's head, and he dials 911 on the cell phone, and he's driving 100 miles an hour in their fucking Jeep Cherokee with a gun to their heads, and he's yelling at the CHP dispatcher, stop fucking chasing me, or I'm going to kill this fucking bitch, and it's going to be your fault. And they're like, fuck, you know, what do we do?
Mm-hmm. So, that's got to be the worst hostage situation that you could even fathom.
Yeah. So now they're pursuing him with a little old lady, and he kicks her husband out of the car and takes her hostage or whatever, and they're driving southbound. And they get into Santa Barbara County, and the car runs out of gas.
That's awesome.
So at that point, he needs another vehicle. He carjacks the moving van. Why you fucking carjack a moving van? It was the first fucking thing that came up, I guess. I don't know. Luckily, this time he didn't take anybody hostage. He kicked the two fucking brothers out of the moving van and took the moving van empty, free and clear, because those fuckers would be dead.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sure.
And so now he's driving southbound 101 in the moving truck, and they fucking spike strip it. So now this moving van is moving vans are tough to drive in the first place. Now you spike strip the tires, and this thing's driving worse than my fucking Dodge truck did. And we know how that handled. So once they spike strip him, this asshole sees a blue Chevy truck and a white Dodge sitting on an on-ramp. And he's like, perfect.
Fuck it. I'll just go take it.
This thing's got the tires are blown out. I'll just go take one of those.
Surprise. So you were right. When you said in your interview, you said, I thought he was going to carjack us. Look at that.
Surprise.
So boy, did he pick the wrong fucking truck. Wow. And he's like, I got a gun. And we're like, so?
We got him too.
We came to play too.
Oh, you must have thought it was bad guy day. It was bad guy day.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
And so he fucking got dead and we didn't. And I think when people ask me, I say, God said, you know what? I'm sick of your shit. And I'm going to make sure that the right fucking people are in the right fucking place to take you out.
Yeah.
And so our lunch was late and we didn't drink and the car fell off the car carrier and we pulled off at that off ramp and he saw us and everybody involved except us knew what was going on. And so they were looking at us thinking we had heard all this radio traffic, we knew everything that was going on, and that we had decided to be fucking heroes, and we were going to fucking be the tip of the spear, and we were going to end this thing.
Well, you did. You just didn't know it yet.
Right. Nope. We were fucking fat, dumb, and happy on our way home, and this dude just picked the wrong fucking day to quit sniffing glue, man. So we're here, and he's not. And wow.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. But, you know, my partner and I, that was pretty intense. It was pretty crazy. It had lasting effects, you know. For a long time, I'd see a car going code 3 on the freeway, and I'd be like, you know, it just instantly, like, long tail cat in a room full of rock. Where's the bad guy? Where's the bad guy? Where's the bad guy? Because fucking, I better be ready, you know.
Yeah.
So it was.
And for those that don't know, code 3 is license sirens. Yeah.
And it was pretty intense. And, you know, looking back on it, at one point, my wife and I were driving past that spot on a road trip from where her folks live in L.A. and where we lived up there. And we passed that off ramp, and it was just the two of us. And I said, you know what? And she goes, what? And I said, I'm going to pull over. So I pulled over and fucking pissed on the spot where he died. Just took a fucking leak on the side of the road.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Fuck that guy.
Legit. Absolutely. So
remind me to...
That was an awesome story. That was absolutely great.
So, real quick question. So, this guy had a 1911.
Yeah.
So, he had a 45.
Uh-huh.
And he was within, 4 or 5 feet of your partner?
Yeah.
And didn't hit him?
Nope. Not once. Mm-mm. Not once. He didn't kill the old lady. He didn't crash. The Mercury Cougar didn't hit any cars, didn't take anybody out. He didn't smash the school bus. He didn't kill that cop. Nothing. Right. Every time he tried to do bad guy shit, it didn't work out well for him.
Right.
And it worked. The good guys won. And then my partner and I got fucking chest candy out of it. And then, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't have a happy ending because when he went back to his agency, they fucked him. He carried some issues from it.
Sure.
and he wasn't dealing with them in a healthy way, and rather than try and help him deal with it, they just decided to fuck him. And what's interesting is with smaller agencies, I've heard from many, many people that once you get into shooting at a smaller agency, they look at you like a liability, and if they find a reason to get rid of you, they will. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what happened. So we still talk. We're still in touch. He sued the agency. They had to they had to offer him his job back, and then because I know this guy and because I know his fucking heart, they offered he sued him. He made him go through the fucking ringer. He got them to offer him his job back, and then went fuck you,
right,
and didn't go back.
Yeah, you can't undo that betrayal.
No,
how the hell can you go back?
No,
I mean, well, at that
and
point,
that's yeah, that's
because what happens on the next one when his life's in danger again, and then right. these situations unfold, and now he's knowing at that point, well, I'm pretty much screwed.
Yeah, and that
or,
I mean
the first
that,
BS complaint that they
right
fry mm-hmm. you for
that ultimately, you know, shit rolled downhill, and that ultimately that same mentality and seeing what happened to him played a part in how my agency and I ended up. Parting ways was because they basically kind of did the same thing to me because when I went back to my agency, I was, you know, there was no fucking way it was ever going to happen again.
Yeah.
My mindset changed. And I said, I've stared into the abyss. I've looked at what that fucking situation feels like. And I ended up replaying several calls over my first couple of years on the job going, fuck, how did I make that mistake? How did I fucking let shit get that close? Because now that I see how fucking fast that shit happens, mm-hmm. I realize I should have shot that guy.
Right.
I should have shot that. It's this weird epiphany you have where you're like, I'm never letting it get that fucking close again. And so then when I was training officers and talking and giving and you know, I was very critical of people. I'm like, don't fucking do that. Don't fucking get me killed. Don't fucking make those decisions. And you know, obviously that doesn't sit well with the brass when you're basically
political.
Calling out their shitty cops and saying, my wife had a list of names, and I think we've talked about this before, but she had a list of names, and I said, you know, if something happens to me on duty, whether I die or get injured, you open this list, and you ask the sergeant on duty who was on the call, and if any of the fucking names on this list were involved in the incident that got me hurt or killed, you get a fucking lawyer and you sue the shit out of the city, and you immediately serve them with paperwork subpoenaing all discipline and training records, because these fucking guys are the reason I got fucking hurt. And that, again, when you create that kind of, especially in a small agency, a big agency you can transfer, they can move you around, you know, small agency, you're fucked. So,
well, and I mean, that's the thing is with, especially with the political climate involving law enforcement nowadays, you know, one of a good sergeant on my department at the end of every email, he's got a quote, and I have no idea who said the quote, but at the bottom of each email, it says there is no place for politics in public service. And
yeah,
that's 150% accurate. The reality is it's 150% inaccurate.
Right.
You
it
know?
Should be accurate and it isn't.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, every single one of us goes out and does our damn jobs how we have to do it to get home. But the right. reality is getting through that specific event is difficult, sure.
Yeah.
But it's manageable. It's all the bullshit that everybody faces afterwards.
Right.
That is complete bullshit.
I would do it again. I would go through that event
no,
again.
Absolutely.
No problem. I would never go through the aftermath again.
Mm-hmm. No.
Not a fucking chance.
And how
and
could
if,
you?
If you know, like I said, if you're a cop and you're listening to this, or if you're any kind of first responder, you're listening to it, be your own best advocate. And, you know, when they ask you, do you need somebody? Fucking say yes. When they ask you, do you want a lawyer? Fucking say yes. When they ask you, do you want your rep here? Fucking say yes. They're not going to protect you unless you're super lucky to get that guy, that one in a million fucking administrator who remembers what it's like to be a fucking sheepdog on the street. They're not. They're answering now to a higher authority of politics, and they're not answering to their partner on the street. So you're going to have to be your own best advocate. That's what I learned out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't leave your fate up to them, because they will fuck you
mm-hmm.
yep.
every time. And 100%. That's a sad reality and sad fact. And yet we still do the job.
Yeah.
Because right. it's not for them.
No, it's not for them.
Not
no.
one bit. And no. it's not for us at any
no.
spectrum at all. It's strictly because...
I got back problems, heart problems, fucking alcoholism, dude. Divorce. I had a training officer tell me, you're not a real cop until you grow a mustache, drink coffee, and get your first divorce.
I mean, you get through your first training marriage?
I
I mean, it's an unfortunate reality. Just, yeah. You know.
It, so. But hey, you know what, though? You can survive. I mean, yeah, there's lots of people that do it.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's a matter
it takes
of
stuff like this.
Right.
It takes sitting around and talking about this kind of stuff and not being afraid to actually like right. give a voice to these. If like you said, when you knew you weren't right, you spoke up. And yeah, you know it's not popular, and yeah, you know it's gonna it could hose you. They could take your fucking badge and gun, and your career could be over. But what's that compared to your wife and kids?
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
What's that compared to your mental health? So, you know, again, I would go through. I would shoot a ton of people to protect the public anytime, any day, but I wouldn't fucking give a squirt of piss for the administrators on my department that were involved in that. And the guy who's there now, he wasn't involved. It's not his fault. It's just he inherited a fucking shit sandwich.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's a wave that's happening across the country.
Yep.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. So.
Anyway, that's my...
Well, that was a good story. You can't make that shit up.
Yeah, no. Thank you for sharing that story. Yeah. That was an awesome story.
Yeah, I'm glad. Based on where I know you work, I was figuring you would at least heard about it because it was pretty crazy when it happened.
It's still kind of cool too from where I worked that everything hand out the way it did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit.
My wife, I told you, my wife when she met the two SWAT guys that didn't kill me, she just gave him a big hug and said, "Thank you for not shooting my husband," with tears in her eyes. You know. So anyway. Well,
yeah,
you took over the damn show, you bastard, Zohan.
I did,
and we just came out with support T-shirts. So
that's right.
We got asked about them, and so I just put together a quick design. It's the thin blue line, thin red line, thin green line, thin yellow line. For those of you that don't understand, yellow represents like corrections, I believe, and I know green represents the military, blue represents law enforcement, obviously, and red represents fire, which is all the people that we plan on having on this show.
Right.
So if you want to show your support for the people that are out there keeping you safe every day, you can do so by liking, subscribing, commenting. That helps us. Obviously, I don't know if you guys know the way podcast works, but every like, every review moves you up in the rankings. So when you go into iTunes or you go into Stitcher or Spotify and they recommend podcasts, they recommend them based on how many people are liking and reviewing it.
Right.
So if you're listening to this, it just takes a second, jump on there, leave us a review, leave us a positive like or whatever, subscribe, follow us, send us an email. We're always looking for people that want to come on and tell their story.
Yeah, we can absolutely,
you don't have to be near us. We don't have to come to you. We could do it over Skype if you want. We can, or you know what? Send us your questions too. If you're not in law enforcement or the military and you have a question you want us to actually get an answer for, send it to us at mailbag.warstories@gmail.com. And we'll even if it's just, you know, you want to share something with us, we'll read it on an episode or we'll try and answer your questions. But I want to thank you guys for being here. Thanks for taking over the show.
No, thank you for telling us your story.
So, until our next episode, you can come home with your shield or on it.
Sounds good to me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Good. And this is for you guys.
Oh, nice.
Just a little patch for you.
Oh, look at that.
And, we got a gift.
Actually, I got you a T-shirt.
Can I donate that on my tax return? But thanks for having me.
See you guys.